Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
What we're going to do this morning is, as you may have known, during the month of June, we had, every Tuesday, we had a class on healing. We called it healing downloading. And what we did is every Tuesday for an hour, or maybe a little longer, we concentrated on teaching you teaching you the scriptures in the Bible that talk about healing. Everything that has to do with healing. That it's God's will to heal every man. That Jesus healed everyone that he came to. His disciples healed them all when they came to him. And we went through scriptures after scriptures. I mean, we literally for five hours, probably more than that, probably close to 8 to 10 hours of teaching for the month of June, scripture after scripture after scripture, that it's God's will that people, his people, be healed. And what we did was, it was broken up. On the first day, we established a foundation with some scriptures. And then on the second day, on the next Tuesday, there was some, we showed the scriptures about Jesus doing the will of God. And then on the third Wednesday or Tuesday, we showed this film, Paid in Full. Maybe some of you who were there were seeing it. You have seen it. And if you haven't seen it, you can find it on YouTube. I would encourage you to look it up. It's free and watch it. It is just absolutely amazing what God is doing all over the world. The fourth Tuesday, we kind of showed a big perspective. Because, you know, when we live in our small world, we wake up, we go to work, we take care of our kids, or if we don't have any kids, we take care of our dogs, if we don't have any. But we kind of have a routine, every one of us, and we live in a small world, and we kind of lose perspective that there is a whole big world out there and what God is doing. And so on that particular day, we gave a big broad view of how God is just moving all around the world, from testimonies from India, where me and my friend Dan have gone to and have been part of ministry over there, where Reinhard Bonnke, his ministry, just thousands are saved and healed, to a lot of testimonies that just went on in our lives. And so it gives you a bigger view, because as we live our day-to-day lives and as we spend time with the Lord and we do those things that we have to do each day, we can get stuck in a rut, and we can maybe sometimes not always see how the goodness of God is being demonstrated everywhere. And so then the last week we kind of did a review. So what this morning that I'd like to do is I'm gonna do kind of bits and pieces of all of that. It may seem kind of broken up and disjointed, but I think you'll be able to follow along. I'm gonna start off with this word that's in the Bible. It's just an incredible word. I know you're thinking, well, they all are. Well, they are. The whole Bible is just absolutely incredible. But there's this one word that has just transformed my life. And especially when I started digging into it, it's that word saved. All of you have heard it. You know, in the Christian realm, I'm sure a lot of you have heard it used. You know, when you talk to people, oh yeah, they're saved, they're going to heaven. Or, you know, we hear it everywhere we go in the Christian realm, in the American Christian church, that people, you know, when you're talking to somebody, well, you know, yeah, I think they're saved, but, you know, I've been trying to tell them about Jesus. And so when we talk to people and we hear that word saved, we're always thinking kind of like a heaven, you know, eternity down the road a ways. That, you know, I mean, if I were to ask, I mean, I was brought up that way in the church, that, you know, oh yeah, I got to get Johnny saved. Yeah, I got to go tell him about Jesus, get him saved. You know, so, you know, I mean, has anybody else heard that? Yeah, okay, just, you see, so it's kind of just the norm that you hear out there. But, you know, what I've learned is that that word, the emphasis on saved, isn't even on an eternal destination, as we're going to look at. But when I started hearing about that word and I started studying the scriptures and looking at the different scriptures, it came alive in me. It's just like, oh my gosh, I've never seen this. You know, I've been a Christian since I've been 27. You know, so there's been a few years, but and I've read the Bible and done, but it's just like, how could I have read those words so many times and never grasped the meaning of it? So let's see here. So if we, and I kind of have it kind of all over here, so be patient with me. We're going to look at John 3:16 and 17. And we're also going to look at 1 Timothy 2:1-6 also. It'll be a little bit before I get there, but if you want to open up your Bible and have them ready. So a lot of the scriptures, as we talk about these scriptures, you're going to see how they just something that we've read for so long, how it can mean something different. So, and at the same time, what it did for me is it's like the scripture Romans 1:16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation." The gospel. So everything that we read today is going to be the gospel. It's what Jesus did for us on the cross. It's what He paid for you and I. To have right now, and so it was like when it came alive. That's the gospel. That's the power of God that came alive in me, as I expounded on this word, and we're going to see and jump into it. It brought a whole new level of meaning and life to me. So if we really think about it, the word saved, when we're talking to people about saved, we're really talking about salvation. And that word, and salvation means, yes, there's an eternal place that we're going to go home to. We're going to go to heaven. We're going to be with our Lord one day. And salvation is a Greek word, soteria. And you may know that the New Testament was written in the Greek. So as the Bible has been translated over the years, we don't speak Greek anymore. We speak English. And so there's all these different translations that the Holy Spirit, through men, they would translate. And they always try to take the best definition of words for a word. So with the word soteria, it means deliverance and preservation. Well, from that word soteria, we also get this word called sozod. And that's a Greek word, and from that Greek word, we translate it into the word saved. So that word saved, you can look it up in the Merriam-Webster dictionary, and you're going to find a lot of different meanings for it. It says kept safe, set free, rescued. It actually says healed, healed of diseases or something. That's in the dictionary. They even got it right, you know. But I was doing some, I like to use my concordance, and I like to use the Strong's concordance because it breaks down the words for you. And so I came to this word sozod in there, and I got the definition from the Strong's concordance, and the definition of it is just really amazing, absolutely amazing. And I just so the word saved in the translated from the Greek, sozod, means saved, healed, delivered, protected, preserved, made whole, and kept safe and sound. Now, you can't take that, all those definitions, and put it into each one of the scriptures where the word saved is. But when you find out that what that one word means, there's a fullness to it. And so, it started making sense. Okay, So then I started digging into the Bible a little bit more about this, and I noticed that that word saved is only in the New Testament. And in fact, it's in the New Testament 110 times, just in the New Testament. And it's only out of the 110 times, there's only three times that it's not used in the tense: saved, healed, delivered, protected, preserved, made whole, kept safe and sound. That's a lot of times that that one word saved has a different meaning than just going to heaven. So let's look at a scripture, John 3:16. Now, I'm going to keep it really simple, but this John 3:16 and 17, just, you know, it's wonderful. So it says, look, let's look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, in that verse, I can hear heaven in there. I can hear everlasting life in there, right? Can you hear it in there? He says right there at the end, but have everlasting life. You know, it says that whosoever should believe in him. Nobody. Nobody can be excluded. Not you, not me. You know, a million years from now, God can't come back to one of his angels and says, wait a minute. I need you to go over to the Greg. Greg, there was one thing that Greg didn't do, you know, 250,000 years ago. Nope, he can't have it. God will never do that. Isn't that good to know that there isn't anybody that's excluded? We are all included in everlasting life. So it's interesting. So now in verse 17 of John 3:16 through 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through the world, that through him might be sozoed, but that the world through him might be sozoed. So now let's read it a little bit differently. For 17, I'm going to inject the word that we just talked about, saved, with the full explanation of it. Or a full definition of it. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. So how many of you ever thought or heard that God's mad at people? I've heard it for I don't know how long. I'm so tired of hearing that God's mad at people. It says right there, God is not mad at anybody. God did not condemn the world. He's not condemning anybody. He says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. But that the world through him might be sozoed, saved, healed, delivered, protected, preserved, made whole, kept safe and sound. I'm going to be repeating that an awful lot because it wasn't until I went through 110 scriptures of just reading them like that and praying and God, and just talking to the Lord about it, that it came alive in me. So it's easy for us to sit here and hear it a few times, but when you go home, you're going to start thinking about it, and that's my desire by the end of the day, that you probably won't be able to forget it, you know, until next week sometime or something. But it brings out the whole new meaning of this verse. Now, that verse is talking about the now life. When you read it with those definitions in there of being saved, this verse is talking about the life that now is. This is what Jesus did for us now. He is speaking about what he wants us to be living right now. He wants us to be healed of every disease, sickness, whatever it is, weakness. He wants us to be delivered. I'm so glad that he delivered me from the addictions that I've had over the years. He translated me out of the kingdom of darkness and he put me into the kingdom of his dear Son. As all of you know, that's what he did for you. He delivered us. He protected us. How many times? Everybody will have a testimony. How many times has God protected me? Every day. We see it in little ways. You know, he's preserved us. He's made us whole. He kept us safe and sound. He's put us back in right relationship with the Father. And so, after reading all the different verses, it got to the point that, Father, this really is your will, that you want all men to be saved. And over the years, I've been talking to people about that, and you get a lot of different responses from people. Well, I don't know. I don't think it says that in the Bible that, you know, God wants all people healed, because, well, what about this sickness, and what about Joey over there, and what about them, and what about, you know, you've heard the stories. But as I was reading these scriptures and going through it, it's like it really is his desire to see us healthy and whole. And then I came upon the scripture in 1 Timothy 2:4. Now, I'm going to go ahead and read from 1 to 6 because I don't want to pluck the verse out of the context. I want us to know that we need to read things in context. So as you read your Bible, as you study your Bible, you know, you always keep them in context. You don't want to just pluck that verse out of there. You want to find out what it's there for. So I'm just, I'll keep it in the context, and then we're going to come back to verse 4. It says in chapter 2, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of truth. 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So we can see up in here, in verse 2, it says, for all kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a peaceable, quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. So in verse 3, it's telling us, this is what's acceptable in the sight of God, that we pray for everybody. So in the context of what it's in, he wants us to pray for people. Because when we pray for people, God hears our prayers. And he wants people in authority, those that rule over us. We want them to know the love of God, to have that born-again experience, to come to know the Lord as Savior. Because then as they work in the government, you know, they work from a different place. They come from a different place. They have the wisdom of God within them. And so it just, you know, God wants all men to be able to live a quiet and peaceable life. He says, because this is what's good in God's sight. So it's not that, as we read that, you know, we could talk about prayer and supplication and intercession and the giving of thanks be made for all men. And we're supposed to be doing that all the time. That's something that you and I are always supposed to be doing. Giving thanks for all men everywhere, praying for them. We want all men to be saved. But if we go to verse 4, and it says, who will have all men, if we inject what we're hearing about now, being saved, who will have all men to be sozoed? Who will have all men to be saved, healed, delivered, protected, preserved, made whole, kept safe and sound, and come unto the knowledge of truth? The Bible is saying that God wants everybody healed. But so many times we have, in our society, we have grown up with understanding a word one way. That we put, you might say it like that, we put all our faith into believing in forgiveness and just going to heaven. That we've lost sight of the fullness of the scripture, what it's saying to us. And that we've cut ourselves off from the kingdom of God. Of the benefits of living in the kingdom and walking out destiny, walking out as a son of God, laying hands on the sick and seeing them healed and delivered and made whole. So it's that scripture verse in Timothy, for me, it's just settled anymore. It's God's desire for everybody to be healed, as well as saved, set free, and made whole. You know. Let's look at a couple different scripture verses. I think for time-wise, because we do have a testimony also. If we look at John 12:47. John 12:47. I read this scripture verse and it was another one that just jumped out at me. God is just so good. He's so loving and kind. And as I read through it, I'm going to go ahead and put the word, the expounded, or like the Amplified does, the full explanation of that word in there as I read it. But John 12:47, it says, "And if any man hear my words and believe not," get this, "believe not, I judge him not." This is Jesus talking. Jesus is telling everybody, if any man hears my words and believe not, I judge him not. Jesus doesn't even judge us if we don't believe. I mean, we lose out on the benefits of not believing, but Jesus doesn't even judge it. Isn't that amazing that Jesus can say that and that he loves us so much? But it says, "I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to sozo, to heal, to save, to restore, to make whole." Isn't that amazing? He's always proclaiming in what he did at the cross, "I saved you. I healed you. I restored you. I made you whole. I brought you back to original value. I made you right with your Father." That's such good news. I mean, Jesus went to the cross and he's saying, even if you don't believe me, I'm doing this for you anyway. It's something that's already done, so it's ours to appropriate for us because he already paid for it. It was part of the atonement. If we look at Luke 18:42, "And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath sozoed thee, has healed thee, has made thee whole, has delivered thee, has rescued thee." Acts 2:21, "And it came to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be sozoed, healed, saved, delivered, protected, made whole." Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? So when we went through the class, I mean, there was just so many different scripture verses that we went through to identify. And we saw it went through the Gospels of how Jesus healed everybody. Jesus, he preached, he taught, and he healed everywhere. That's all he did. We pointed out how the disciples, they did the same thing. He gave them authority. He commissioned them to go out to preach the gospel. The kingdom is at hand. To teach them how to disciple them. All the things that he taught them, he says, "You teach them that they will do the things that I do." And to heal, he said. He's everywhere, and that's what we've been commissioned to do as believers. The very same things that Jesus commissioned the disciples and that Jesus did himself. Okay. So we're going to jump ahead, and we're going to talk about testimony a little bit. All of us have testimonies. Everyone here, even like as Kim was talking this morning, does anybody have a testimony? I was trying to encourage my grandson. Yesterday he told me something, you know, and that's a testimony. And I hope you won't mind, Isaac, but I'm going to share it. We were just driving home, and I was picking him up from work, and we were driving home, and, you know, we weren't saying much, and a lot of times, you know how guys are, you get in the car, and we don't say much. Way guys are. So, but all of a sudden he says, "Grandpa," he says, "have you ever experienced something like that, or have you ever noticed that sometimes you just feel like you just have a lot to be thankful for?" And I look at him, my 15-year-old grandson, I says, "You know what? I've experienced those things." And I says, "Tell me what's going on." And he was saying, just the past few days, it just feels like I really have a lot to be thankful for. And, you know, it's not that he pointed out all these things that he had to be thankful for. But I was telling him, you know, that's the Holy Spirit living inside of you, talking to you. He's illuminating to you his goodness and how good he is to you. So we all have testimonies. Every one of us can think about things like that. I remember 8 years ago, I didn't have to go through surgery for my back. I had a herniated disc, and after 20-something years of dealing with it, with medicines and doctors and everything, and it finally got to the point, said, you know, they took my money, and I didn't get any better, and I was still in pain, and I said, to heck with it, I'm going to go stand upon the Word of God. Well, I started getting into Word of the God, and that was even before this Word came alive in me. But I came across the Word in Psalm 107, verse 20, that says that He sent His Word, and He healed them, and He delivered them from their destruction. And that spoke volumes to me. My sister can tell you that they would come over and pray for me because I was in so much pain on the floor. You know, but one day, I came across that scripture verse, and it spoke life into me, and I said, by God, I'm not going to stay here. I got up. Now, I didn't get up with no pain. I got up with pain, but it was like from that point on, I am not going back to a doctor. They're not cutting me. This body isn't theirs to cut up. It belongs to Him. He sent Jesus for me to heal my back, and I'm going to stand upon this word. I started walking it out little by little, and that was 8 years ago. Well, here I am today. I do whatever I want to do, far as physical stuff, far as anything out there. My kids will tell you, my wife will tell you. I'm not going back to a doctor because Jesus healed me. So we all have these testimonies, and it's important for us to recognize that God does these things and share them with people, because testimonies bring encouragement to people. Our brother Frank over here, when he told us his testimony, oh my gosh, I mean, it just brings so much life to you. You know, it inspires other people, because we never know who's sitting by us and what's going on in their life. And so it speaks into their life. The scripture, Revelations 19:10. It says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So we are testifying, I'm testifying, Isaac testifies, Frank testifies, Cynthia testifies about things in their life. You testify about what Jesus did for you. He saved me. How all the years ago, He saved me from those things that were destroying me. So I'm testifying that what the Lord Jesus did for me, and it speaks to somebody out here. And they say, well, if He did it for them, He'll do it for me. They can latch a hold of that. So we talked a lot about testimony. So what we're going to do at this time is I'm going to have my wife come up, and we're going to walk through a testimony that she has about what she went through. And then I'm going to come back, and we're probably going to close up. So give me just a second. I'm going to bring the chairs down here. And Connie's going to share her testimony with you. And we're kind of going to do this together. But it's so powerful, the testimony. It says that we've overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we love not our own life unto the death. And for some of us, we've taken that literally. We're not going to bow to anything anymore that's not of God. We're going to walk out the goodness of God. Healing in our lives. So we're going to share a testimony with you of what Connie has been through. Go ahead.
Good morning. In August of 2012, I woke up one morning and my left breast was all red and inflamed and hurt. And I thought, gosh, there must be some type of infection. So I made an appointment with the GP, went and saw her. First thing she said was, that looks like cancer. And I said, don't say that. So she sent me to my normal Dr. Hansen, my radiologist, that I'd been going to for years. Ironically, I had fibrocystitis, so I had to go for a diagnostic mammogram every year. So I went to Dr. Hansen, and he did a biopsy, and sure enough, he found an 8-centimeter tumor, and they diagnosed me on October 1st with inflammatory breast cancer, which if you're going to get breast cancer, that's not the kind to get. It's the worst kind because it's actually in your skin, and they have to get it out of your skin before they could do surgery or anything else. Since then, I've learned a lot about cancer. And one of the things I learned is most women with breast cancer, they go through surgery first because the idea is to get the tumor gone. But in my case, we couldn't do that. So, you know, I'm a one step at a time, got a plan, going to move it forward type person. So I can do chemo. 20 weeks of chemotherapy they diagnosed, and we started on October 26th of 2012. Well, during that time, God did some incredible things just to raise our faith level. One thing He did was He brought this fabulous couple into our life, Dan and Jan Taylor. Dan is a missionary to India, goes there four or five times a year. And we met them in between the 2 weeks that I first got my first chemotherapy. So on the 26th, between the 26th and I think it was the November 4th, 4th, we met them. And they didn't even know I was sick. We had them over for dinner. And as they were leaving, we told them what was going on. And so they decided to walk through it with us. And that's an important piece, as you'll see later. So anyways, after 2 weeks of chemo, I lost my hair, which was incredibly traumatic for someone who'd had long blonde hair her whole life. And but I found that I hated the wig. So and Greg liked the scarf as well. So I just wore scarves all the time.
She always reminded me of a biker chick that way.
Early on, Greg heard the word rejoice. So we decided we weren't going to focus on the disease. We were going to focus on God. I never said, I have cancer. I didn't own it. I'm battling it. I'm fighting it, but it's not mine. And so my best friend is a very talented worship leader. So on Sunday night, she would come over, her and her husband, and we started inviting people, and we just rejoiced. We just praised the Lord. And I think maybe in all that time, we prayed for me once. I mean, it really wasn't about me. It was about who Jesus is. And during that time, one of my goals was to make it to work every day. And I did, sometimes only for 2 hours, but I made it to work. That was my goal. I needed a reason to get out of bed every day. Mm-hmm. But during that time, God was merciful in giving us words of, you know, people saying, this is not to death for you. I called my son, who is in the military, to tell him about it, and he laughed. And I said, well, that wasn't quite the reaction I was expecting. And he said, Mom, I am so excited. You are going to have the best testimony ever. This is awesome. And not once did he say, oh, Mom, you know, none of my kids did that. They were all very excited that God was going to do something amazing. So how can you be depressed or upset when you know that God works all things for good? And I learned a lot about what comes out of your mouth. If I sat there and said I hurt and I was miserable and tired, well, I would be hurt, miserable, and tired. But if I said, okay, God, today I choose to be joyful, then I had joy. So I learned a lot through that process. Anyways, fast forward a little bit. In January, Greg decided to go on a trip to India with Dan Taylor. So I ended chemo, March 8th, I think. It was March 8th, and he went March 13th or something to India. And when he got back, we were supposed to go to the surgeon on April 8th. Well, while he was gone, the church we were attending at the time, CFTN, they had a women's conference called Women on the Front Lines. So I went on Friday. A friend of mine was working it. She saved me a seat. I went, and she said, let's have lunch together. I have something to show you. So as we're having lunch, she had a bag with her, and she said, do you know what a prophetic artist is? And do you guys all know what a prophetic artist is? A prophetic artist is someone who paints something that God puts in their head, but it may not be, it's prophetic. So anyways, as we're talking, she pulls out this picture, and I'm going to show you the picture. It was a picture of me.
Want me to hold it?
This is what I look like with my scarf praying to the Lord. Yes. And the name of it, when I turned it over, that's when we started bawling. The name of it was called Healed. That was the name. The woman had painted it 2 years before, not knowing who it was for. And God told her to give it to my friend, Jacqueline. She gave it to me. We're bawling in the restaurant as we realize God has this covered. I might not see it in my body. I might not know what's going on, but God had this covered. So when Greg Amen. Came home Amen. From India...
Yes, we can rejoice, yes.
So Greg came home from India. I immediately put it in a frame, stuck it on the wall. And Dan, our friend, he looks at it and he goes, well, I'm not the brightest tool in the shed, but to me that says you're healed. So we chose, you know, we're like... And there was... Oh, I forgot the scripture. Can you look up Romans 4:17?
Yeah.
There was a scripture that really spoke to me, because the whole time I'm still going through chemotherapy. I'm still got crushing fatigue. I've had, you know, side effects, all those things. But there was a scripture that we found, 4:17. I don't have my glasses.
Okay,
on.
I'll read it. Want me to read it?
Yes.
Okay. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were.
That's it. Calls those things which are not as though they were. So I would look at, and then it goes on to say that Abraham looked at his body and he knew it was dead, but he chose to believe God instead. So it was the same thing. I looked at my body, knew there was disease, but I chose to believe that Jesus paid for my healing. So through the chemotherapy, the breast went from red to about a bright pink. And so we knew the chemo was working. The tumor shrunk. The breast was now pink. So now we had to go to the surgeon. So all this time, I'm really good at talking myself into things. So I'm like, well, okay, I could do surgery if they'll reconstruct me on the table. I've always wanted, you know, perfect size. So I thought, I can do this. So we get to the surgeon who proceeds to tell us that my little fantasy world is not going to happen. For inflammatory breast cancer, they have to take all the skin, so there's nothing to rebuild. And because of that, there has to be radiation, and so reconstruction wouldn't happen for 2 to 5 years, and you don't want me going into the gross details, but anyways, it was not a fun diagnosis. And this whole time, I was not hysterical, but I got hysterical in the surgeon's office. Because I'm thinking, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be mutilated. I don't want to go through this for years. So she did a biopsy. She had to do the biopsy because the skin was still pink, and she suspected there might be cancer still in the skin, which the diagnosis, or it came back a couple days later, that there wasn't in the skin. So she called me and said, okay, we're going to do surgery first, then radiation. And I was really, really struggling with this. So we went to our friends, Dan and Jan Taylor, and they prayed, and Dan had a word of knowledge, and he said, Connie, have you gotten away by yourself to talk to the Lord? And I said, well, I've been a little busy with chemo, Dan, so no. And he said, well, I think you should go. So I immediately went for 3 days up to Prescott and stayed in my brother-in-law's cabin, and I just read every scripture like Greg that I could find on healing. And at the end, I didn't have this big booming voice say, you know, do this or do that. I just knew in my heart I had a choice. I could either believe Jesus is who he says he was, that he died on the cross for all sickness, all disease, including that cancer, or not. And if not, then I was going to be in years of relying on doctors, and I didn't want to do it. So I came home and I said, okay, honey, I'm going to believe God. We're done. No more treatment. We're done. And he agreed. So, however, I had to go back to the surgeon because they did a biopsy and I had to get the stitches out. So I was like, oh, I don't want to go back. And so the night before, I made my husband try to get the stitches out, which he couldn't do. So the next day, he's like, you're just going to have to go. So I'm praying the whole way. Holy Spirit, give me the right words to say. Don't let him badger me. If she badgers me, I'm going to give in. And just tell me what to say. So anyways, I get there and the surgeon says, do you want to talk first? Because she knew I wasn't real happy about my choices. Or do you want to take the stitches out? And I said, well, let's take the stitches out. So as she's taking them out, all of a sudden she says, that's odd. And I said, what? And she said, well, the pink is gone and I can't explain it. The pink was gone. She couldn't explain it, and it's been completely gone ever since.
Amen.
Jesus
Amen.
Completely and totally healed me in a second, and he rewarded me for my faithfulness in standing on his word.
Amen.
And since then, he has told me that this testimony will set the captives free,
mm-hmm.
that the anointing for healing walks in this testimony. So if you know anyone who's struggling with cancer or anything, I'm happy to walk with them. Amen.
Amen. Amen. It, you know, it was really, it baffles my mind. It baffles all of our minds because the mind just can't comprehend it. But the night before she asked me to try to take out the stitches and I did. I tried to. And I could see the pink there all over. And I could see the lump, an 8-centimeter lump that was still there. And then, so when the next day, when she called me and told me it wasn't there, and when I got home, I said, the thing cleared up. You know, I'm not sure if it happened when the doctor started pulling them out. It's odd because one day it's there with the lump and redness, and the next day it's gone. Medicine doesn't work that way, but God does. You know, it's just absolutely a miracle. You know, it's just, but it is so, as you've heard Connie say, you know, we have these testimonies. God gives us his word. If you don't hear the booming voice, you have the word that plainly tells us that this is who he is. This is always what we stand on. When we get sidetracked and we don't hear the voices, when we're spending time with the Lord and we're not sure that when all this chaos is coming down on us and life is screaming that you got to do this and no, you got to go there. This word speaks the truth to you. It's living. It's alive. It's forever settled. I've healed you. I've saved you. I've restored you. I've made you whole. And I want you that way because I've given you destiny and a purpose. And there's a plan for you to be to conform to the image of his son so you can walk on this earth as his son, reconciling the world to our Father. That's our job here. So I just want to close with that. I really had to, I know that, like I said earlier, I really had to just cram in an awful lot and kind of it's just chopped in here, kind of sewed together. But I hope you're able to grab something out of it. I hope that it encouraged you and that you'll be able to share with friends out there, you know, that you know or that you come across that are struggling with things. As Connie has mentioned, we are always available to pray. If you know somebody that would like to have prayer, we're always available to go and pray for them and minister the word of life to them. So please feel free to get in touch with it if you know that. So as we close right now, I want to open it up to you. Does anybody here have anything that they're dealing with that you'd like us to pray for you? Because in James it says, you know, that, James, I had it here earlier. Yeah, that the call for the church and the prayer of the righteous will save. Uh-oh, there's that word again. That will heal, that will restore, make whole. For the prayer of the righteous ones, it says. So does anybody have anything that you want us to pray for? We're going to ask you to come forward. And we're just going to lay hands on you and believe. And if, I mean, so this is really kind of going to be the closing part of our service. But if you want to stay around, we are going to be more than welcome to stay here for as long as you want and just pray for you. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Thank you for coming out today.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.